This is Greg Tingle reporting for Media Man Australia. We're speaking to one of the great Yankee promoters, Mr. Bobby Rydell. Welcome to the program, Bobby.
Thank you, everybody in Australia. My dream is to get there one day, the beautiful down under. Thank you.
And up to New York. So, Bobby, you've been in the promotions business for a long time. Everything from wrestling to live entertainment, music, a whole lot of other things. So tell me, what do you do? What do you do in the promotions business, and how do you make it all come together?
Well, you know, promotions and promoting are very close to each other, but in my promotions person, my hat that I wear as a promoter, I promote different organizations. That could be independent wrestling, or that could be, like you said, music. I've done a lot of promoting of things with Cyndi Lauper, things with Tammy Faye, Baker Messner, and of course the wrestling world. And I'm very honored to have a very good reputation in that because, you know, promotions, there's a lot of sleazy people that are in this business, and I'm proud to say that I've made myself a reputation of being an honest and good person. So
yes.
I cherish that.
Yes, and that's what we understood because we've been in touch off and on with Evan Ginsberg for a number of years now, and particularly the last 6 months, we've been liaising with him closely. We've been doing some tremendous stuff with Luscious Johnny Valiant and the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, and we said we're doing an article on the great Yankee promoters, and you were near the top of the list. We've got to speak to Bobby. So, Bobby, what makes you a great promoter, and what are some of the key ingredients that you have made work to the best for yourself and your clients over the years?
Okay, I have always made it a practice to do things based on integrity and respect and loyalty. If I need to promote somebody or a cause or a performer, an entertainer, I want to have a good relationship with those people. I want there to be a total open trust between the agent and the client. So I'm really more of an agent than anything else. An agent to the stars, they call me Agent to the Stars, Bobby Rydell.
Yep.
And, you know, and that's how I've done it. I need to find people that are willing to open their mind up a little bit, be flexible, open-minded, submit to authority, which could be me. I could be their authority, and I'm not controlling. But some people think they have it all together right away.
Okay.
If they surrender, they can learn something else. And to top it all, it would be humility. You got to be humble.
Now, what's
that's a Bosch principle.
Yeah, now what you're saying seems to make a lot of sense. So now, I mean, obviously you've had a brilliant reputation for a number of years now, but when you first started off, perhaps not all doors opened for you straight away. So what little things did you do to really get the trust of people and to say, look, this guy's really serious about doing the right thing in a business where not everybody is always doing the right thing?
I've been very blessed by God. I have a number one relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm a born-again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And when I broke into the wrestling business, it was kind of by accident. I didn't mean to do it. Vince McMahon of the World Wrestling Entertainment was in a court trial at the time. And the court case happened to take place near my home in Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, and I was very vocal in defending the honor of the World Wrestling Federation at the time, and then Vince McMahon and the McMahon family.
Yep.
And my grandparents came down, and my family, and the McMahons kind of took a liking to me, and they invited me to their office in September of, I believe it was 94, and Linda McMahon then had me back up in their office 2 months later and brought me to the Human Resources Department and said, you know, mail this application back to me and I'll take care of you. And she had told me that Vince and her discussed me over dinner. I mean, I was 18 years old at the time.
Yes.
For 18-year-old, I was like, you know, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. No, that's huge.
Yeah, it was a very big deal. I was very humbled by it. And life took off at that point. It was very, very fast. And they hired me for WrestleMania 11, which was the Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow with Pamela Anderson and that whole cast of characters. That was in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
And from there, it just, you know, life just really kind of took off for me. I made a lot of good friends there with the people in the office, and I networked very well. I was never a full-time WWF employee. I want to make that very clear.
Yep.
But I had a very good relationship with that company, and I was kind of like okayed by a lot of people
with
their talent.
Right. It sounds as if back then, that but maybe you might have went against the grain a little bit, because I remember even following it here from Sydney, Australia, it became very, very popular to single out Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan, and mainly because, as we call them, the feds, that, I mean, they just basically wanted to take that company down at any expense. I mean, that's basically the vibe that we picked up here, and they seem to be almost like an easy target to pick on.
At that time, they were very easy target to pick on. You know, the NFL and other different sporting venues, places, you know, the government wasn't really looking after them. They were looking after wrestling. And wrestling always had a way to maybe get around certain things. But the biggest thing with that whole steroid trial was it was legal up to, I believe, 1989.
Yes.
So the question was, were the performers still taking any drugs or muscle enhancers after that time? And did Vince McMahon know about it? Was Vince McMahon supplying it to them?
Yes.
And that's what the court case was about, and McMahon was proven innocent.
Great. And so, but obviously, I mean, they probably, but I mean, you must have got their trust and the integrity, because you were probably prepared to put your neck on the line and say, hang on, guys, this guy hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, we admit that, yes, there are steroids in wrestling, but, I mean, it's just the way it is. They're not necessarily guilty, and perhaps, I mean, they needed to sort of take a fresh approach and just listen to what people in the know really knew about the situation rather than on preconceived ideas.
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there, you know, at the time when all that stuff was going on. But if there was a performer that wants to take steroids, ultimately it's up to him that takes it. That doesn't mean Vince McMahon was pushing it down your throat.
Absolutely.
It was a dirty doctor.
Yeah.
That was involved with that whole thing.
Yes.
And he was doing that.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That's how I kind of broke in and things took off, and then I started working with the independents and I became a guy. You asked about how I got my reputation.
Mm.
It was really basically based on the fact that if the McMahons used me for a show and I had these friends in the office with different people there, then the wrestlers or the boys trusted me with their money and booking their hotels and renting their cars and representing them at autograph sessions, and that's how I got involved with the business big time.
Yes. So these days, I mean, how do you balance your workload? Because it sounds as if you've probably got approaches for interviews and everyone probably wanting you to represent them. So you must have a certain criteria to dealing with certain people because, I mean, you're established now. So how do you work out who it is that you will actually represent?
Well, it's funny you ask that question. I left the business in 1999. I came back last year. And this time around, I'm a different person. I used to represent 50 stars.
Wow.
Whether they were current WWF through autograph appearances, whether they were ex-WWF people. And what I do now is I work with the Million Dollar Man, Teddy DiBiase.
Yep.
And he has a worldwide ministry called the Power Wrestling Alliance.
Yep.
Which is wrestling shows. You put on wrestling crusades with a Christian theme to it.
Yes.
This goes back to the good versus evil, the 80s approach of wrestling, the gimmicks. We have some really good wrestling matches in there. And we just did one in Canada about a month and a half ago now. We outdrew World Wrestling Entertainment.
Wow.
Only about an hour and a half away from us.
That's huge.
Same country, yeah. It was in Ontario, Canada. And we're going to be going over to Europe and the UK. I mean, we just have offers coming in. I mean, I talk about emails and people wanting me to represent them. I get probably close to 200 emails a week.
Right.
On whether it be just radio requests or, how can you, what is the criteria to have to be a client of yours? And this is what it is. I am now working with Ted DiBiase's group, which may consist of Ted, Nikita Koloff, Sting, Shawn Michaels is used on occasion.
Yeah.
He'll be with us this coming week, actually.
Right.
Buff Bagwell, great to have a Valentine, the Barbarian, Road Warrior Animal. Unfortunately, we just lost Mike, Road Warrior Hawk.
Yeah, so I heard about that.
Yeah, that really shocked us. We were with him for his last match.
Yeah.
And now, as far as the independent wrestlers, I work with pretty much one person. Because he has come up to the standard that I set, and his name is Johnny Oba, and he's from Long Island, and he's also with Ted DiBiase's group, but also ECWA.
Yep.
In Delaware, and the Jersey J Cup, and he's coming along nicely. You'll be reading a lot about him in the magazine.
Fantastic! It sounds like you're really establishing a formidable force. They're almost like an army, if you like. So it sounds like, I mean, in these days of the way the world's changing and with the way the wrestling landscape's gone, you guys perhaps may have a legitimate shot at being recognised worldwide or perhaps even in America as number two. I mean, you've got the NWA and it sounds like yourselves are right in there struggling for the top.
Yeah, I know people down in NWA. I haven't pursued that yet for Johnny or some of the other guys that I'm close with. But, as far as worldwide, out in Australia, there is a station on television called TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. And myself and Johnny were just on that about, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago now, in video clips from a show we just did.
Sure.
And Ted was being interviewed, and we had a ladder match with somebody who was in NWA, who was currently there, named Chris Sabin.
Yep.
And it was called Match. It was dubbed Match of the Night. And we really thank God to give God all the glory for it because, a year ago, John was just coming out of a wrestling school.
Wow.
So God's really working on his life and my life, and we keep God with us everywhere we go.
Yeah. Yes, mate, if I can ever help some way, I mean, I will definitely promote this interview like you won't believe. And certain wrestling promoters and entertainment promoters, they visit our website regularly and they've heard us on the radio and they've seen us on the box, so it will be seen. We've actually read Ted DiBiase's book and we found it very inspirational. I mean, certainly in my life I've had my challenges, but I think just the average bloke can relate to the man, to getting on the, you know, getting in the big bad wrestling business, and you've got the drugs and the women and all of that, and he sorted himself out with the help of friends. So how do fans and people that are sort of just checking you guys out, how do they start to realise that you're very much a sincere about this quest to see wrestling be a much cleaner place and basically lead by example?
Okay, well, that's it. We do lead by example. Everywhere we go, we'll work, Ted DiBiase shows, again, which are Christian shows, but we work many non-Christian shows, numerous non-Christian shows,
mm-hmm.
and we lead by example. Before we go out to that ring, we're down on our knees, and we're praying in front of the whole locker room.
Mm-hmm.
We'll invite our opponent to pray with us. We're not trying to force religion down anybody's throat. We just want them to see alternatives and that God really does love them, and we will not compromise. We will not get involved with a storyline that glorifies, either sex, drugs, cursing. We won't be put into those situations. And that has to do with accountability.
Okay, so it sounds like both the promoters or the promotions involved and the actual wrestling talent itself respects wrestling for what it is, and it's not trying to turn it into some sort of side show, freak show, married up with some sort of pornography. It's wrestling, it's pro wrestling, but it's good, clean wrestling.
Right, exactly. It's good, clean wrestling, and that's another reason why they use us. I mean, it's not, again, glory goes to God, but we're good at what we do. I'm a manager. I go out there and I'm a heel manager a lot of the time. John's a performer, and they like what we do. We're good at what we do. We both have, God's blessing on that, God's favor. And we just hope to make a change, and we have been making a change. There's a lot of people that are on the independent, like Kevin Kelly from the World Wrestling Federation, who's no longer with him now.
Yes.
There's an interviewer. He's a Christian. Terry Taylor, who's working with NWA, he's a Christian.
Yes.
Sting is involved with NWA right now. He's a Christian. So there's a lot of people up that are coming up. George Steele, The Missing Link.
Yes.
They're all there.
Yeah.
So, we're there for each other, and we're definitely there to bring about change in the independence, because we don't need to have, let me put it this way, too. If you want to run a show with, crucifixion scenes where they're nailing somebody to the cross, they do this in some places in America, as a mock of God, or if they want to do something with women half naked and this and that, I don't want to say there is a place for it, because I don't believe it's right anyway, but if you're going to do that, you should have a warning on the tickets or on your advertisement saying that that's what it is, because it's really a sort of pornography show that they're promoting, and kids should not be exposed to that.
Yeah.
And they put it under the guise of professional wrestling, but really it's hurting the fans.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, there has been a change in it. Once upon a time it was sort of plain pro wrestling, and then it sort of went down that way, and I think the shock tactics seemed to get some big ratings initially, and then WCW went down, and then WWF stayed extreme. They saw the ratings drop, and now they're going for a little bit more subtle approach, aren't they, and getting back to some basics?
They're trying hard. Sometimes they take, you know, 2 steps forward and 5 steps backwards.
Yeah.
But when they're doing the right thing, I urge the fans to tell them, because if the fans and society changes, then the product will change.
Yes.
You can only do shock value television for so long before you put yourself in the corner, and that's why, you know, WWE is, you know, suffering a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. The shows are down.
Well, we've basically seen everything that can be done. But how do you mold your character development to get characters which the fans are really going to embrace?
You know, I have a pretty good eye, and then I have a good creative mind, and I watch for the fans. I listen to the fans. I had a newsletter years ago, and I let the fans pretty much run that. It was a fanzine. And if you listen to the fans, then you know what they want. And I do a lot of research on that. And sometimes I'll take somebody based on, you know, their ability in the ring, their work ethic, and if they're the type of person I can work with. And then if we can groom them a little bit and tweak some things up and send them out, maybe we can polish them up and give them a character that the fans may want to embrace.
Yes.
And once they embrace it, then we work that much harder to keep them in love with us, whether it be making a phone call or sending a thank you card, answering their email. The fans are precious to us. None of my clients are ever going to knock off a fan.
Gotcha. No, it's great to recognize how important the fans are, because clearly some of the promotions and promoters over the past, sort of they did get a bit arrogant, and it's well acknowledged, and then all of a sudden the fan base went to someone else and it filled someone else's pockets with cash. So who were some of the individuals getting away from the wrestling for a bit? Who are some of the other individuals that you're representing at the moment? Tammy Faye Baker and other notables?
Tammy Faye she has her own personal agent that I can represent her. I can book her on different things. She does one-woman shows all around the country, and she still ministers.
Yep.
She just has a new book out, If I Can Survive, So Can You.
Yep.
In the past, I've worked with some different Nickelodeon people, J.J. Walker from Good Times, and Barbara Feldman from Get Smart. I'm totally forgetting certain names now.
And let me help you. Cyndi Lauper. Is Cyndi Lauper interested to give a new version of rock and wrestling another shot, or has she sort of put that with the past and she's doing other things these days?
She put that in her past. You know, I would love to. I mean, that's my favorite era of time in wrestling, but that's in Cyndi Lauper's past. She will not do that again.
Mm-hmm.
She had a good time when she was doing it, but the problem was people started to talk to her more about wrestling than her music.
Yeah.
And she was not a wrestling person. She was a musician, so she wanted the respect as a musician, which I completely understand.
I see. And what are some of the other projects you have in the works? Like, obviously, you've got the wrestling promotion for when you guys come to town and you get bums on seats, so to speak, but this has lent itself to documentaries and books. So what's some of the other avenues of marketing that you've worked with successfully?
Well, the internet is definitely one major one. Unfortunately, there's a lot of stupid websites out there, but if you can go through and find the good ones, and you find intelligent people like yourself and somebody like an Evan Ginsberg, and we all work together, we will make wrestling better. And I used to be a board member, actually, for the International Wrestling Preservation League. That was run by Tom Park.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you find that inner circle of good people that are respected and that have a credible reputation in this business, we can all help each other out. That's one good way of marketing. Newsletters is another great way of marketing. Like you said, the books and the magazine articles. I do a top 10 list in Bill Apter's Total Wrestling magazine. That's another way of doing it.
We've interviewed Bill as well, right? Yep.
Yeah, you're interviewing Bill?
We have. We interviewed him about 3 months ago.
Okay.
It's a small world, isn't it, the wrestling world, particularly now with the internet?
Yep. Yeah, and you know, people like yourself bring, you know, helping people in America out through international means, whether it be radio and TV, and we do tons of radio.
Yeah.
Australia has always been a hotbed for wrestling.
Yes.
Now, 4 years ago, I promoted the show in Australia, and I wasn't even there.
Wow.
And I can't even tell you the name of the promotion. I don't remember it, but I believe we had Marty Jannetty, Luna, and Gangrel on that show.
Yes, it may have been WWA superstars or something. There was a few around here. After the WWF at that time lost a bit of talent and WCW came out here, and then people thought, well, okay, let's get some other big US names and let's only charge them a third of the price. And what do you know? They actually drew pretty good numbers.
Yeah, no, the tour was a success. The one that I promoted was a success.
Yes.
Very good. I still have all the programs from Australia, actually. It was a 7-day tour.
Right.
So, I mean, we definitely look to get back there again, and maybe we can bring the Power Wrestling Alliance to Australia.
Well, that'd be fantastic. We'll certainly put the word out there. We'll be publishing this interview and broadcasting it, I would anticipate, later on today, and we do very much look forward to being in touch with you and moving forward in collaboration with yourself and the good team there.
Well, I mean, that's awesome, and I really thank you for doing that. If I can just give out an email address and a website.
Yes.
For the fans to contact me, there's two websites. Number one is milliondollarman.com.
Yep.
And you'll find my information there and Ted's schedule. And he has a newsletter you can read every month, and we have interviews with all the guys.
Yes.
Also, Johnny Ova, that's www.johnnyova, that's O-V-A, .cjb.net.
Yes.
Contact me on that also.
Mm-hmm.
And my email address is Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, @milliondollarman.com. And I'll answer all your email, and we would love to, again, to get to Australia, perhaps at the Hillsong Church. Hillsong is a big church out there. My cousin's out there. Actually, if Frankie's listening,
yep.
Frankie Sirocco, hello, we wish you well. Tiffany got engaged.
We'll send them a note. We're going to promote this like you wouldn't believe. Make sure you say hi to Ted and all the team, and we very much look forward to being in touch with you again shortly.
Thank you very much. Hello to Australia, and hope to see you guys soon with the Kangaroos.
We'll make it happen. Thank you very much, Bobby.
All right, thank you.
Bye for now. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.